This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
Welcome to this five-part series in which we will define self-care and describe how it can affect your life goals and your personal happiness. Self-care might be defined as taking steps to support your physical, mental, and emotional health. Self-care helps us prepare for times of stress, and it prepares us to cope with whatever life throws at us. We have turned to a unique organization in the field of member care, the Mobile Member Care Team, which is headquartered in the country of Ghana, Africa, for expertise on this subject. While member care has historically been administered when staff members return home for care, the Mobile Member Care Team lives and serves where they can be physically near the missionaries in a number of West African countries. That allows them to respond quickly in cases of robbery, rape, disasters, or political issues. Three of the team, Alan, Karen, and Marion, have produced this series of programs to help us understand how to develop a program of self-care. Alan, who sort of hosts the programs, has experience working in Uganda. He pastored for a number of years in the United States and now is back in Africa. Dr. Karen Carr is the clinical director of MMCT. She is a licensed clinical psychologist. Before becoming part of the team, she administered an emergency services unit in the U.S. state of Virginia. Marion Dick is the services director for the team. Her studies are in nursing science and pastoral studies, and her work took her to Zaire for 18 years. She has been involved in the area of member care throughout her ministry. Let's listen to what Alan, Karen, and Marion have to share with us on the topic of self-care.
We want to start with a very basic question. Karen, what qualifies you to speak about stress and the need for self-care?
Well, when I first came to live overseas, I moved to Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire, and I was there with my two teammates, Darlene and Marion. Both of them had had a lot of experience living and working in Africa. They'd been there for 10 to 15 years, and I had done short-term trips before, and I'd had a long-term vision to be overseas doing this kind of work, but I had never actually lived full-time overseas. And soon after getting there, when I began to experience some of the stresses of life there, and we began to experience some traumatic things ourselves, I really wondered, do I have what it takes to do this kind of work full-time? And can I make it for the long haul?
Marion, what about you in this matter? What qualifies you to speak about stress and the need for self-care?
Well, if part of the qualification involves having experienced stress myself, then I think in some senses I am qualified. I don't consider myself an expert, but in the sense of having been on the journey for a number of years and having particularly faced a lot of challenges in my first term of service as a nurse midwife in the Democratic Republic of Congo, it was there that I really became more aware of the stressors of cross-cultural work, and particularly the ones that I was experiencing, and also the necessity of being able to not only identify them, but come up with a plan of action so that you could persevere over the long run.
I know that both of you lived through some difficult political instabilities. Can you tell us a little bit about your experiences in Abidjan and the Democratic Republic of Congo?
Before we got to Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire had been one of the most peaceful countries in West Africa. But just before we got there, they had their first coup. And in the 2.5 years that we were there, it was pretty much constant political tension, civil unrest, attempted coups. There were times when during the civil uprising that we saw mobs going through the street, carrying sticks and clubs, shouting things. Our house help sometimes was picked up by police and questioned and beaten. We were in the midst of doing a workshop one time when some fighting started and we were trapped between government soldiers and rebel troops and under siege for 8 days and finally evacuated out by French troops.
Wow. Marion, what about you?
Well, I think in those first years in the Democratic Republic of Congo, I was dealing more with the stressors of adjustment to another culture and to a whole new role, language learning, those kinds of things. But as the years progressed, we experienced more and more political instability. And so then we began to deal with things like armed robberies, increased armed robberies, and just lawlessness in the country because of some of the instability, evacuations back and forth from one Congo to the other, with civil war erupting in DRC and then erupting in Brazzaville, Congo. So just a lot of civil war unrest, evacuations. There were times when we had to be so careful about going out on the road to do the ministry that we felt that we were called to do. I was working with an on-reach people group, which meant traveling into the remote areas of the country. And along the way, we would often come across student demonstrations, for example, and where people would try to take over your car for their own uses to, you know, in their political programs. A couple of times my car was taken over, or my truck was taken over by military because they needed it to for their own personal use. And so there was a lot of just a lot of uncertainty in your everyday living. And it became increasingly difficult at times to feel like you were accomplishing the goals that you had to be in that country and, you know, to do your work. It was just really hard because of all of the instability in the country. So those things, I think, took a toll on me, but also on my colleagues and my African and other cross-cultural colleagues.
And on top of these traumatic stresses, you experienced other stressors besides?
Besides the traumatic things, there were daily stresses. Things like, for example, I had studied French for 3 months, which was enough to help me get by in the marketplace, but really wasn't adequate to carry on deep conversations. So that limited the depth of the relationships I had. It also left me feeling a bit apprehensive, especially if I would, say, need to drive somewhere by myself and might anticipate that a police officer would pull me over, start to demand that I do certain things or ask me questions, and I was afraid I wouldn't understand. This is somebody, you know, carrying a gun and, you know, potentially hostile or threatening.
Marion, what was your experience?
There were just so many challenges that were coming at me all at once. And I just questioned if I could survive all of the cross-cultural changes, transitions, as well as the demands and expectations that were put on me by myself and the people that I worked with. Some of the things, struggles included taking on the responsibility of a hospital, 30-bed hospital where there was no doctor, and suddenly finding myself as the person to make decisions, life and death decisions, that with patients that came in very dire circumstances, with diseases that I had never treated before but just read about in a book, then having to learn two languages pretty well simultaneously, using my French but also learning an African language, teaching in our nursing school and helping mentor student midwives so that they would get through their state exams, and just feeling always that I was not competent enough for the job that was expected of me. Working long hours, and also I think the adjustments of working with a team of other medical personnel who themselves were exhausted and who were very glad when a new worker came and somebody that they thought could take over the responsibilities.
Karen, you want to add to that something about the stress of living and working on a team?
Another thing that can be difficult is being on a team, and even when it's a healthy team with close relationships, just learning how to be a generous, giving team member. You know, when I lived in the States, the people I worked with, I saw them during the day, but then I went home and I had my own social life. And that was separate from my work life. Here in this kind of cross-cultural environment, there's very little separation between ministry life and personal life. And in our case, with our team, we live under one roof, and we travel together, so we're together a lot of the time. And we have to learn how to make a lot of self-sacrifices, a lot of give and take.
Well, you're saying something now which we are reluctant to admit. Life on a team can be very hard.
Those were hard, but there were harder things that weren't as obvious, like being apart from family and the guilt that brought when they struggled and it seemed like they needed me to be there, the stresses of language barriers, learning how to be a generous, giving team member, and learning how to pace myself and come to terms with my limitations and weaknesses in the face of needs and goals, both of others and myself.
Marion, I've heard you acknowledge that life on a team posed some challenges for you as well.
I think one of my biggest challenges was I did not know how to say the word no. And so I accepted everything that I was asked to do. And as I look back, I look at all of the different ways I had been shaped by my own family of origin and my own culture, where I had such a strong desire to succeed, strong work ethic. I was used to trying to live up to other people's expectations. So I brought a lot of those things into the cross-cultural picture when I came in my first term.
When you came to the end of that first term, all of this had taken a toll on you, hadn't it?
When I came to the end of my first 4 years of service, I was 30 pounds lighter than when I arrived. I came home extremely exhausted. Friends and family looked at me and wondered if I had some kind of disease that I was dying of. And I guess it was then I thought, you know, if I don't put some changes in place in my own life, I will not be able to fulfill the calling that God has given me. And so I began to look more intentionally at how I could persevere with joy over the long haul. And I think I could say it's, you know, it's not something you learn once for all. It's been a journey, and it's a journey that I'm still on, and even these last few years have even been more intentional about.
You've been listening to part one of a five-part series on self-care. Alan Lee is hosting this series, interviewing Dr. Karen Carr and Marion Dick of the Mobile Member Care Team in Ghana, West Africa. We encourage you to listen to the entire series so you'll have a balanced understanding of self-care.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thank you for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that would be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.